Oh, come on. How many of you love Jesus? Yeah. And don't you love Sister Jamil? Oh, she's such a blessing. I thank you for your anointed ministry. I love it when she and I get, we've crossed paths more than once.
Yes.
And she led worship when I would speak at Eastern North Carolina, and it was joy. And I was so excited to know she was coming back. But I'm so thankful to be back in Maine. I'm really thankful to be here. I look forward to coming back. And you know something I noticed right away, and that's that you people still have accents. I noticed it in the airport when I got off the plane. But I love it. I love being here in your beautiful state. It's still a little cold, guys. Whoa. But God is good, and I thank your beautiful First Lady for the invitation. Isn't she sweet? She's so wonderful. And I'm excited. I feel like that there's something that God has given me to do. And it's not often that this has happened in ministry for me, but I feel like that for this season that we're in, He has pretty much given me, I feel like, a mandate to speak a certain word. And until that lifts, I'm going to speak it everywhere I go. And that is a word I want to bring to you tonight. A word that I feel like God has called me to bring. And it's unusual. My husband, he travels with me most everywhere I go. And he knows it. And I told him, I said, the minute this becomes stale bread, I'll put it on the shelf. But until God tells me to quit, I feel like He says, you better say that. You better say that. So I feel like it's something that I want to declare and decree tonight with you. How many of you know that playtime is over?
Amen.
Come on, playtime is over, right?
I mean,
how many of you know Christianity 101, it's time for us to move past that and engage in real warfare? Come on, anybody out here hearing what I'm saying? We have got to realize that now God Himself has chosen for you to be alive on planet Earth in 2022. He looked down through the eons of, you're not just a random selection and oh, you're born now. No, He chose for you to be here for such a time as this. Come on, somebody. That means you're qualified. Raise your hand by the power of the living God within you to go forward and accomplish what He's called you to accomplish in this crazy world we are currently living in. So I want to share with you some things, and before I do, I'm thankful for His presence. I'm thankful where two or three are gathered in His name. He's promised He would be in the midst of us. Where two or three come together. See, God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. And those are fancy words that just mean He's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere at once. But you know, even though He is omnipresent, He's at Walmart, where I found out last night you can't use plastic bags. My husband had all this stuff, and he was like, what? She said, we don't have bags. What? It was like his world just ended. He was like, what am I supposed to do? He came out of the car, and he was carrying this stuff, and I said, what? He said, they don't have plastic bags. I'm like, no, they ran out. He said, no, they're illegal. I said, what? You're kidding. Oh my goodness. But then I went to a store and drank out of a plastic bottle and drank with a plastic straw, so I'm confused. I just got back from California and they wouldn't let me have a plastic straw. I come to Maine, they won't let me have a bag. But God is omnipresent. He's even at Walmart. He's at the restaurant. He's at the bank. But He's not welcome everywhere. How many of you welcome His presence here tonight? You welcome Him. You want Him to show up. You're inviting Him to be in our midst. Go ahead and tell Him. Just tell Him. God, thank you in advance for showing up, because you said where two or three were gathered in your name, you would be in the midst of us. You are omnipresent. You are already here, but we welcome you here. We want you here. We invite you here, O Lord. And it's in His presence, women of God, that we can exchange beauty. We can pick it up for our ashes. Amen. Anybody had any ashes in 2020, 2021, 2022? Just a little while into 2022, I told my husband, I said, you know what 2022 reminds me of? Reminds me of its ugly first two cousins, 2020 and 2021. I don't want another relative. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That reminds me of the one that just left. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you are ready for a move of God in spite of what the news says, in spite of what your situations are screaming at you, declaring God's bigger than all of that? Amen? God is not moved to the left or to the right. God is seated on His throne. He is high and lifted up. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Hallelujah. One of my favorite, all-time favorite services that I ever had with Sister Jamil in Eastern North Carolina at the campgrounds was when the Lord spontaneously changed what I was going to say, and I didn't have a clue. He just told me to get up and read Isaiah chapter 6. And I began to read, and I remember this so vividly. The power of God was moving in the praise and worship. And when I got up and I began reading Isaiah 6, which is not what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Isaiah 6 began by saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Spirit of the Lord quickened me, and He said, Rhonda, that's so important, because it was in the year King Uzziah died, and that was significant. And Isaiah recorded those words intentionally and on purpose, because in the year that King Uzziah died, the world that he knew was turned upside down. Politically, spiritually, morally, financially, everything was at unrest all of a sudden in the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah said, and I looked up in that same year when everything was crazy and nothing made sense, politically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, I looked up and I saw the Lord seated on His throne, right where He always was. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you tonight? Congress cannot move His position. The president cannot move His position. Oh, the Supreme Court cannot move His position. And if this book says it's wrong, it's still wrong. I don't care what they say. If this book says it's right, it's still right. Can somebody say amen? And maybe it's in the year your husband left. Maybe it's in the year your child got addicted to drugs. Maybe it's the year you lost your job or you received a diagnosis. Maybe it's the year somebody you love died with COVID. Maybe it's a year when all hell broke loose in your personal life, and the Lord is saying, this weekend, women of God, I want you to do one thing. I want you to lift up your eyes and see that I'm right where. I'm right where I've always been, high and lifted up. And I know about you and your situation, and I'm going to minister to you and allow you the privilege to exchange and receive beauty for ashes. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Depression will leave. Encouragement will come. Come on, somebody. Are you ready to receive what He wants to do for you this weekend? Praise God. I want you to do something for me. I always ask everybody to do this. I want everybody in here to do this. Everybody do this. Take your hands and do this. Everybody. You just shook hands with the woman who needs this word. Because I know how we are, Sister Sanja. I know how we are. Don't even lie to me. It's not just something we do in South Carolina. We go, oh, girl, bless her heart. She should have been here. Where is she tonight? I told her she should have come. Because y'all know this. You know the mess she's in. This word was for her. Can I just go ahead and tell you, sweetheart, Suge? God knew exactly who was going to be here tonight when He asked me to speak this word. So somebody put your hand right here and raise the other one towards heaven and say, this is for me, Lord. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Now I want you to stretch your hands this way, and I want you to pray in agreement with me. We've already prayed. We feel His presence. I welcome here, but I want you to ask Him for one thing. The anointing that breaks and destroys the yoke. The anointing that will cause me to speak exactly what He wants said. And it will cause you to be a hearer, and not just a hearer, but a doer of the word. Come on, let's pray together. God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name that we are not ashamed to proclaim publicly or privately, in the name of Jesus, we come before You. It's in that name and that name alone that we have access to Your throne. And we come in His name, Lord, and we ask that in the name of Jesus, You move mightily in the midst of this, Your people tonight. I pray that the anointing that breaks and destroys the yoke of the enemy will settle mightily in this house and on each individual present. I pray, God, that Your word will go forth and accomplish what You desire for it to accomplish, and it will not return void. I pray for healing spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially. I pray for the exchange of beauty and ashes. I pray, God, that the garment of praise will be placed on their shoulders and the spirit of heaviness will be left at Your feet. I pray, oh God, that You will turn graves into gardens. I pray, oh God, that You will turn bones into armies. I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for You are the way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness, and You, oh Lord, are able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask, all we think, and all we have need of. And I ask, Lord, in Maine and northern New England, God, that You have Your way in this place, in this house, in every ministry represented by everyone in this place tonight, God. Send a revival, send a great awakening. God, wake us up from our slumber, stir us, God, from our complacency. God, I pray for a revival in this part of our nation. God, let it begin. Let sparks of revival spread from here across our nation. God, move mightily in our midst, and I know You're able. We give You praise. Now I want somebody to praise Him for what He's going to do. Praise Him in advance. Praise Him. Praise Him in faith believing. Anybody can praise Him. Anybody can praise Him when you get your miracle. But if you believe it's on the way, go ahead and praise Him now. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. I thank You, God, my strength and my redeemer. I worship You, God. I worship You, God. I worship You, God. Praise God in the name of Jesus. The Lord has led me to this, and it's been stirring in my spirit since 2019, and it's just becoming more alive than ever with each passing day. And I want to talk to you tonight about this thought. The most important question ever asked. The absolute most important question ever asked. I want to read a passage of scripture before I get to the main text. In Proverbs 29 and 18, it's a familiar verse, and it says, without vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But if you break that down, and if you read it in an amplified version, it reads like this: where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. That is what is wrong in a nutshell in our world today. Anybody in here hearing what I'm saying? Anybody in here notice like me that this world has quickly become unstable in all its ways? Has anybody in here remembered? I mean, years ago, I can remember saying to my husband when they said, we need to take in the Pledge of Allegiance, I pledge allegiance to the flag in the United States of America. I pledge allegiance, one nation under God. They wanted to take under God out. And if you remember, one nation under God, indivisible is the next word. And I told my husband, I said, the day they take God out is the day that we are anything but indivisible. Has anybody noticed how divisive we have become within our own borders towards each other? Come on, y'all. And it's crazy. It's over everything. And so there, if there was ever a time that we needed to refocus, and I'm going to talk to you about that tonight, on who He is now. Because knowing and having revelation of who God is changes everything about who you are. Amen? It changes everything about who you are. Without vision, without a redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. I want to read to you a passage of scripture, and I want you to think about this before I get into it. My mentality becomes my reality. Can somebody say that? My mentality becomes my reality. How many of you have had negative thoughts? And, you know, I say this a lot. You know, when you start thinking so much negativity, you become negative. Amen? And if it's in the well, it's coming up in the bucket, Suge. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and everybody around you is going to be drinking from the water that your well produces. And, oh, y'all don't look at me so holy. I'm speaking the truth. If it's in the well, it's coming up in the bucket. Just hang around somebody long enough, and you'll find out what they really feel, right? So it's so important for us to realize that your mentality becomes your reality. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I never thought he'd make it. And you're speaking death over somebody. You're speaking gloom and despair. And you're speaking your own mindset, right? My mentality becomes my reality. I need to replace my thoughts with revelation of who he is. I need to replace my thoughts with revelation of who he is. I need to replace my thoughts with revelation of who he is. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the author and the finisher of my faith. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lily of the Valley. Oh, come on. How many of you need to replace your thoughts with who he is? See, worship takes us into that mindset. Come on. How many of you have been singing praise and worship songs and going, did I turn the crock pot on? Baby, did I unplug the iron? Y'all don't look at me like you don't do that up here. You're going through the motion of, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Somebody lied to her about that haircut. Bless the Lord. Mm-mm-mm. That dress is entirely too short. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me. You might as well be singing happy birthday. But when you step over into worship, come on, somebody, and all of a sudden something happens on the inside of you and you're paying attention to what you're saying and you're thinking about who you're saying it to. Oh, come on, raise your hand and help me out here. You step over into worship and all of a sudden something begins to happen. Your problems become less and less and your God becomes greater and greater and you find yourself dancing while you're vacuuming your house. Replace your thoughts with revelation of who he is, and you cannot help but to worship him. So I want to bring it back in. That's just an intro. It doesn't even really have anything to do with what I'm going to preach about. I'm just being honest. I want to read to you the text, Matthew 16, verses 13 is where we're going to start. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. We're going to flip back and read some verses in another chapter and then come back to this. We're going to start with this. Matthew 16, 13 through 19, the most important question ever asked. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, say that with me, Caesarea Philippi. It's important. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, if it was today, have you ever just, my imagination is vivid, y'all. I'm just not even kidding. And sometimes I'll just imagine what it would have been like if God had chosen for Jesus to be born, I don't know, around 1994, you know, or 1997, somewhere in there. And he was on earth in 2022 as Messiah. I mean, you know, he might be riding in an SUV with a cup of coffee in his hand and looking at the disciples saying, hey guys, what are they tweeting about me? What are they putting on Facebook? What are they Snapchatting? What do their posts say today? He said, hey, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In verse 14, I think this is interesting. Some say John the Baptist. you know, there was none greater than John the Baptist. Jesus talked about how, what a powerful preacher he was. Some say Elijah. Elijah was powerful. Others say Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet or one of the prophets. All of these are good guys, and that's a great category to be in. But Jesus exceeded them all. Everybody know that in here? Verse 15, the most important question ever asked is this. Jesus turned, I want you just to imagine him looking at you straight in the face. Jamil, imagine if it's just you and Jesus in the room, nobody else here. And he takes you and turns your face towards him and he says, but what about you, Jamil? Who do you say that I am? Sanja, who do you say that I am? Rhonda, who do you say that I am? The most important question ever asked, because this is a question that if you are asked and you answer it correctly and you live according to that revelation, praise God. Come on, somebody, raise your hand and say hallelujah. I live according to the revelation of the truth of that answer. Then it doesn't matter how many failures you have in this life, you are still a winner. Can somebody raise your hand and praise him? If you've answered the question correctly, just raise your hand and praise him, because you can exchange beauty for ashes, ashes for beauty. You can exchange it. You can pick up the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But if you answer that question incorrectly, doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter if you're on the cover of every magazine. Doesn't matter if you're dubbed the most successful woman in the world and everybody knows your name. If you've answered this question incorrectly, you have lost it all. Anybody in here hearing what I'm saying? The most important question, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter was always quick to say something. Y'all, you know he was. Just up in the front and center with a microphone and a podium. And sometimes he just needed to sit down and be quiet. Now, Peter, calm down, Shug. But this time he got it right. Can somebody say praise the Lord? This time he got it right. He looked in confidence and he said these words. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, I'm getting excited because I know what I'm going to say next. I'm getting excited already because this is like fire shut up in my bones. He answered the question with the correct answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, he was saying you are. Oh, Genesis through Revelation, and part of it hadn't even been written yet. He was saying you are everything. You are the Word made flesh. You are the one we've been waiting for. You are more than enough. You are all sufficient. You are the Redeemer we've been waiting for. You are the Messiah. Say it with him. You are the Christ. Come on. Answer it. Yes. Come on. Somebody answer it as if he's standing in front of you asking. Answer the question. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. And that's what he's saying to you if you've answered the question. See, that makes me so excited. I can hardly stand myself. I'm blessed whether the world thinks I am or not. I'm blessed whether Bank of America is reflected in my accounts or not. I'm blessed whether my job thinks I am or not. I am promoted even if I'm the least of the least in my job at work. I have been made to sit in heavenly places. I am his and he is mine. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because I've answered the question correctly. Raise your hand and praise your God if you've answered it correctly. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This revelation came from God. This revelation came from him and him alone. I want you to see something before we go any further. I want you to flip back to Matthew chapter 14. Flip back two chapters earlier. Matthew chapter 14. I want to show you when this revelation came. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. And I'm still reading from the New King James Version, and it begins with a word that we all like immediately. Who likes the word immediately? Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all might be far, far north from me, but we still all the same. Y'all hear what I'm saying? There are certain things we like, and could you wait just a minute? It's not one of them. Hold on, I'll get right with you. It's not a phrase we like to hear. Come on. Your turn's coming, but it might be a while. It's not something we... Come on, immediately. And I like this word, but sometimes Jesus used it, and this is one of those times it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the... Let's look at that phrase, immediately Jesus made. He made. Has he ever made you do something you didn't want to do? Don't look at me like that. Come on, hey, I've been working at the church office for 27 years. When my pastor hired me, who has long since retired, I told him I'd help him for about 6 months till he found the right person. That was back in the 1900s, women. Back in the 1900s, I took a six-month job, and here I still am. So I've heard every excuse there is to hear. I've heard every lie there is to be told, people wanting to get money from the pastor or the church. I've heard it all. I've heard, I've cried, I've given money to people that were lying to me, and then I have had the light bulb come on, and I've addressed it. You hear what I'm saying? But this is something I've noticed when people come in. This is my pastor loves me, my current pastor, who was not the one who hired me, who has since retired. The pastor that I have now, he loves it because I do this. People will come in and they'll go, now, Rhonda, I'm just going to say this. Now, I feel like our church is lacking in this area. And we have a need. I mean, because like the 9 and 10-year-old little girls have nothing for, and this is what I do. Girl, we have recognized that we have that need, and you are an answer to prayer because if God has laid that on your heart, then I am confident he is calling you to that ministry. Praise God. Pastor, hey, pastor, we have somebody who wants to teach the 9 and 10-year-olds. Oh, come on. How many times has Jesus made you do something? You're like, oh, God, I see the need. Oh, Lord, please, God, send somebody to do this. No, God, it's not me. Uh-uh, no, God, I know that's not you talking. Get thee behind me. That cannot be you. Oh, God. Okay, I'll take it, God. I've lost my mind, but I'll do it, God. Jesus made them get in the boat. So I call that the boat of obedience. How many of you know if Jesus said for you to get in the boat's going to float? How many of you know if Jesus told you to get in the boat, you're going to be all right? Come on, if Jesus said get in the boat, you're going to be okay. But how many of you also know that if Jesus said get in the boat, the devil's going to go, okay, we've got to come up with a storm that's going to distract them, to keep them from getting where they're supposed to be, to make them feel like they got to jump overboard, to make them feel like they missed the will of God. Because if we make them think nothing ever goes wrong when you miss the will. Oh, anybody, how many of you know that just because all hell breaks loose in your life does not mean you've missed God's will? So here, the boat of obedience, they get in, and Jesus, he says that they got into the boat to go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, he was tired in his body. He had been physically ministering. He was just as much man as he was God while he was on earth. You recognize that. You know that. He got hungry. He needed a nap. He needed a shower. He was a man when he lived on earth. And he said, I've got to send these people to the house. I need to send them home. And then it says that when he had sent the multitude away in verse 23, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Can I just throw this out? Again, this is not my message, but if Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was God on earth, needed to get by himself with the Father to pray, how many of you know that we need to follow his example and spend time in prayer? Now, when the evening had come, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, the boat of obedience, and it was being tossed by the wind and the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, contrary is a word my grandmother used to use, and she wasn't talking about the wind when she used it. She would say things like, he's a contrary old soul. Bless his heart. You know, that's what we say in the South. For some reason, we feel like if we say bless their heart, we can add anything we want to it, and it's okay. He's a contrary old soul. Bless his heart. He's a contrary. And sometimes when you are doing the will of God, don't look at the person next to you. Keep your eyes right here. Contrary winds will blow in your direction, and sometimes you might be married to it. Sometimes it might be somebody you worship with. Sometimes it might be the next door neighbor who always, well, we won't go there. And I'm just saying, contrary winds come our way. And this was a type of storm I researched that was tempestuous. It was a violent windstorm. It was heavy rain and hail. Not a good night to be sailing. And they were in the middle of the ocean. It felt like the ocean. They were in the middle of the water, and the winds were blowing. The wind was blowing hard. The moon was covered by the clouds. You couldn't see the stars. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and the water was sloshing overboard. Not a good night. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, there are four watches, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 11, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. Anybody know that from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. seems like the always time the Spirit of the Lord will quicken you to pray? Sometimes you feel like, my God, my alarm is going off in just a smidgen of, it's just, God, there's something about that season of time. It was the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The very storm they thought was going to destroy them became the platform for Jesus to be glorified. The very thing that we think is going to destroy our nation may be the very thing that is going to cause Jesus to be glorified and exalted in our land. The very situation you're facing, you need to realize it might feel like it's taking you down for the count, but it's under his feet. Can somebody say amen? It's under his feet. And he came walking to them, and the disciples saw him. They saw him. How did they see him? In the middle of this darkness, in this storm where the waves were rocking the boat and the night sky was covered with clouds. You know, the Lord kept taking me to this. I kept reading it again. And it says they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, these were not little wimpy guys. These were manly men. You know what I'm saying? Anybody remember and appreciate? Come on, I'm old enough that I appreciate the difference. Can anybody in here appreciate the difference? Come on, somebody, help a sister out. My husband is a hard-working blue-collar man with callous hands, and he knows what it means to work. First time I met him, I said, that's a man's man right there. I like him. Are you hearing? I appreciate the difference. Nod your heads if you do. These were men's men, and they were like, Mama. I'm scared. Uh-huh. And so, you know, if they were, you would be too. It's a ghost, Mama. They cried out for fear. That's scripture. That might be my interpretation, but it's scripture. I started thinking about that thing. How could they have seen him against the night sky when it's total darkness? Now, when my husband and I first got married, he took me so far out in the country, people went to town to hunt. I mean, it was Can you say rural? It was a rural southern town that didn't even have a name. It was a county. If you identify a place by the county alone, you know it's teeny tiny, Franklin County. I'm like, okay, whoa, no metropolitan area, no, you know, I mean, we were out. We lived on private land surrounded by forestry land. And I can remember this man walking up to me going, ma'am, I think I'm lost. I was deer hunting and I don't know where I am. I said, well, currently you're in my backyard, but I don't know where you came from and I can't get you back to your four-wheel drive. But I want you to think about, how is it when the lights go out in a storm? When the lights went out in Franklin County, Mississippi, it was dark. I'm talking about the storm. Lights go out, Kenny. Where'd you put that light? I told you make sure you had a flashlight handy. I don't know. I can't find it now. We'll just have to sit here by faith because we're not going anywhere. It was dark. And it was dark. But yet they saw him. And they thought he was a ghost. I got to thinking about that. Now, you might not can prove what I'm fixing to say, but you can't disprove it either. So I'm going to run with it. How many of you remember when Moses was on the mountain alone with the Father and he prayed and revelation came to him and the glory of God sat upon him? Remember when, oh y'all, I'm getting excited. Remember when he came down from the mountain and he glowed with the presence of God? He radiated. The light was so powerful that people were afraid to look at him. I'm just kind of thinking that Jesus had been alone on the mountain praying, and I just kind of believe he was radiant with the presence of God residing on his person. And I believe he came walking out towards the boat of obedience. And you know, I've seen pictures painted of this stoic Jesus. No, I believe he had fire in his eyes. I believe his hands were clenched. I believe he was walking towards that boat going, not these guys, devil. You won't take them. They're my disciples. They're my anointed. They're my appointed. They're my chosen. They're my called. They're a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. And this boat's going to float. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The old ship of Zion will not sink. The church triumphant is alive and well. God, I praise you. And I think that's why they thought he was a ghost. Really. They knew Jesus. They had walked with him. They knew his gait. They knew his voice. They knew everything about him. But he looked different in that moment. And I honestly believe he was radiating with the presence of God. I really do. And that's why they said he's a ghost. He was illuminated. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Oh, come on, somebody. He might not look like you expect him to, but he's approaching your storm. He might not come when you want him to, but he's on time. Yes, he is. Somebody raise your hand and praise him. I believe he was singing with fire in his eyes. He might have been singing Waymaker. He might have been saying, he might have been saying, I'm the Waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in your darkness. That is who I am. He might have been singing. He might have been singing, there's no shadow I won't light up, no mountain you can climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't, that I won't kick down. There's no lie I won't tear down coming after you. He was not passively approaching their boat. He was approaching their boat in confidence of who he was. And then verse 28 is something interesting to me. Peter answered him and said, Lord. See, when we're reading it, Lord, if it is you. No, nope. Lord. If it's you, really, if it's really you, Lord, command me. Hold up right there. How many of you with me, this is not what I would have said. Come on. I got some honest women in the house. Come on. How many? I wouldn't have said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. No, he's the one that made you get in the boat anyway, Peter. I would have said, Lord, if it's you, come get in my boat. Come on, if that's what you'd have said, raise your hand, make me help me out here. Lord, if it's you, come get in my boat. But he said, Lord, if it's you, command me, command me to come to you on the water. And in my mind, I kind of think Jesus went, well, okay. We're going to give him some good preaching material, Peter. We're going to give him something to talk about at 2022 Women's Conference in Northern New England. We're going to give him something to talk about for a long time to come. All righty then, because in my mind, that's the way he talks. All righty then, Peter, come on. In my mind, I mean, he says one word, come. Now see, Peter didn't step out on the water. He stepped out on the word. If Jesus had been, Peter would have been right there. He would have. But when he heard, come, and his focus was on Jesus, he stepped out on the word. And the same storm that they thought was going to destroy them was now under Peter's feet. As long as he kept his focus. As long as he kept his focus. As long as he kept his focus. So what does the enemy do when you step out on the word? He tries to cause you to lose your focus so you won't keep standing on the word. Oh, come on, somebody. It was Jesus who called you into ministry. It was Jesus who told you to do that. And the enemy's trying to come with all sorts of distractions. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Because he looked at the circumstances and not the Messiah. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Three words. I want you to memorize that. Lord, save me. Anybody capable of memorizing that prayer? Lord, save me. Come on, Lord, save me. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Come on, somebody who feels like you're going under. Somebody cry out right there from your seat. Lord, save me. Come on. Lord, save me. God, I'm tired of my situation. Lord, save me. God, I feel like I'm going under for the third time. Lord, save me. Come on, somebody. And the Lord's causing you to refocus. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Look at verse 31. And Jesus said, when you get to the bottom, I'll think about it. What in the world is wrong with you? You've walked with me. You've talked with me. You've seen me perform miracles. Bloodle, 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 bloodle. How does it feel? Uh-huh. Oh, come on, y'all, don't look at me like that, because that's the way the church does sometimes. Anybody ever, maybe it's just a southern thing. Maybe y'all don't do that up here. But I mean, how many times have people felt judged by the church when they fall and they feel like there's no hope and they can't get out? Jesus did not say that to Peter. You look at this word again in verse 31. And when? Immediately. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And it was not a, you stupid idiot. It was, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I'm here for you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm not going anywhere, especially when the storms are raging, especially when you're in trouble, especially when the winds are high and the darkness is surrounding you. You can count on me to show up on your behalf. Somebody say it with me. Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him. Look at verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Somebody raise your hand and praise God for revelation. Come on, somebody raise your hand and praise Him for revelation. Somebody acknowledge the fact that when you're in your storm, you can count on Him showing up. When you're in your greatest hour of distress, that is when you are going to get the greatest revelation of who He is. Oh, come on. With that being said, who's brave enough in this room to raise your hand and thank Him for the storm? Thank Him for the storm. Come on, God's blessing you as you thank Him for the storm, because it's in that storm that you gain greater revelation of who He is. Now, that was my introduction. And I'm serious. I'll try to talk really, really fast for the next part. Okay, I'll try to really speed it up. But I'm telling you, I could not go forward without giving you the introduction. That's so important. They gain revelation in the storm. Now I want us to flip back to Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16 and 18. The most important question that's ever been asked has just been asked. And Peter answered it correctly. Let's answer it together. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, say that loudly. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, say it. Make the devils of hell tremble. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, say it to that demonic spirit that's been harassing your family. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. Somebody praise Him for revelation. Look at verse 18. Jesus is talking now to Peter. And He says, and I say to you that you are Peter. He changed his name, and from this time forward, he was never addressed by any other name except Peter. He says, you are Peter, and on this rock, what rock? The rock of the truth that Peter just spoke. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Not prevail against it. Prevail means there will be efforts made, but they will not prevail. Somebody raise your hand and say, we are victorious. Come on, somebody. I'm on the winning side. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Somebody needs to bind that spirit that's been coming against your family. Somebody needs to loose the Spirit of God to reside over them. Somebody needs to pick up the keys you've been given. Oh, there's so much I could say right there. If I got a basket and passed it around and said, now, I would like for everyone in the room to place your keys in this basket. And I'm going to put them in a giant Ziploc bag and take them back to South Carolina with me. And as the Lord reveals the time is right, I'm going to ship them back to Sister Sonja. And she can figure out whose is whose. Y'all tell the truth. Who in here would not put your keys in that basket? Come on, everybody else in here is just trying to make me feel better. I know there's not. I would have Z to the row keys in that basket. Z to the row to the highest power. I would have no keys in that basket. We guard our keys because that's how we get in our car. That's how we get in our house. That's how we get in our office. That's how we get it. You know. But what do we do with the spiritual keys we've been given? I mean, we put them on the shelf and we never even take them down. And the Lord is saying, I've given you the keys. I'm talking to me. Bind and loose, bind and loose, bind and loose. Now I want to stop just a second. The Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me about this. He said, Rhonda, there's something you're not getting. I love it when the Lord does that. And also, it's very challenging. And sometimes it's frustrating because it's like, God, you could just say it. you're going to make me dig for this like an archaeologist. You're going to make me find this fossil. You're going to make me. But you find so many nuggets on the journey to finding what God's wanting you to find. And He kept saying, read the passage again. Read the passage again. Read the passage again. Remember when it says in verse 14, when it says, Let's look back up. And no, let's back up one more verse. 13. Where it says, when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi. The Lord kept dealing with me. Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi. And I'm like, God, what am I not seeing? So I started researching Caesarea Philippi. Do that, but please don't do it right now. Don't Google right now. No. Put your phone down. Cause you know you'll check that Facebook. You'll check that Instagram notice. Don't pick it up. Don't, cause you'll see those texts. I had to put my phone down. I took a picture of Jamil while she was up here so prettily singing. And I had like 4 texts pop up. And I was like, I had to put this on airplane mode so I won't read those texts. Cause I don't want to be distracted. But I want you to think about this. So the Lord kept dealing with me. I want you to see this, Rhonda, and I want you to see this in northern New England in March of 2022. It is fire in my bones. I want to share it with you. Jesus took them to Caesarea Philippi to ask them the most important question ever asked. And it was not just a random place. It was on purpose with a purpose. How many of you know everything in this book is there for a reason? And everything you face, every situation you're ever in, if he numbers the hair of your head, and in my case knows what color it's going to be the next time I go to my beauty shop, he knows the number of tears you shed. He knows you're down sitting from your uprising. Come on, he knows you personally. He cares about you. He took them to the region of Caesarea Philippi to ask the question. He took them and they were walking along. Now, as I studied this out, I found out some interesting things. Caesarea Philippi was a place that devout Jews were forbidden by the priests to even go. They couldn't go in the radius of that region because it was so corrupt with Satan worship. Various types of idolatry went on in Caesarea Philippi. Now, y'all got to go with me in your minds here. I want you to hear this. I don't want you to ever forget what I'm about to tell you. So they're walking to Caesarea Philippi on their way there. And they're probably saying, we're not even supposed to be going here. Where is he taking us to Caesarea Philippi? Because, you know, I mean, they're the ones that wrote the gospel. So they're probably not going to tell us what they were saying in the background. Like, yeah, we don't want to tell them what we were talking about when we were walking behind him. I mean, yeah. And so they were probably going, and they were likely passing people who were going there to worship in these pagan places and these false gods. When Jesus stopped at the entrance of Caesarea Philippi and said, who do you say that I am? How many of you know that the question is never for the benefit of the teacher? It's always for the student. I believe if they had not answered the question correctly, this whole dialogue would have been recorded differently. He would have said, come on, boys, let's go back to the house. We've got to do this one again. Because y'all aren't ready to go up into no Caesarea Philippi. Jesus was southern in my mind. I'm sorry. I know to you he sounds like he's from Maine, but to me that's what he sounds like. But that's okay. I have a friend from Ukraine and she says, to me he sounds like this, Rhonda. So that's the way it works, okay? So to me he said, boys, come on, let's go back to the house. If you can't answer this right, I reckon we ain't going in. And so, I mean, he said, no, I'm asking you this question on purpose right here for a reason. And he said, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There was a declaration made, and it was made right in the enemy's camp. It was made and declared on purpose, with purpose. The line was drawn in the sand. I believe in all of my heart that something shifted in the atmosphere. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was declared right there in the region of Caesarea Philippi. Something interesting about that region. There were multiple gods who were worshipped in that region, but I just want to talk to you about the main one. The main god that was worshipped in Caesarea Philippi was the god Pan. the Greek god, a mythological god who we know is nothing more than a demonic spirit, but they believed he was truly a god. How many of you have seen pictures of the god Pan? He's the god that's half goat, half man. The upper torso is a buff guy, but he's got the goats of a horn and the legs of a ram. And he's standing there, and he was worshipped by these people. And right in the entrance of the city or the region of Caesarea Philippi, you can Google it after church, after you get home. In the region, there was this huge temple that was erected, and the remnants of it are still there today. And there was a huge opening to this cave that had been turned into the temple of the god Pan. And there's these little niches that they put on the outside where they would put these idols and these offerings. And then they would throw these sacrifices, sometimes their children, in the opening of the cave to sacrifice them to the god Pan. And they would perform perverted acts in front of this cave opening, and they would have all sorts of pagan rituals that they would do to suffice and satisfy the gods that they believed were worshipped there. And they did not worship the god Pan out of love. They worshipped him out of fear, because he was something to be feared. And when they worshipped him correctly, he would personify and come forth in the entrance of this cave, and demonic spirits would come in and out through the opening of this cave that were visible to the people there. And guess what they called the opening? The gates of hell. So Jesus took them and he said, "You see that right there?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're not even supposed to be here, Lord. I mean, you know, don't tell my preacher." I mean, call like, "We're forbidden to come up in here." And he says, "You see that right there? That is the gates of hell. And because you answered the question correctly, the gates of hell will not prevail against you." Oh, somebody praise God. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. You talk about exchanging the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you talk about exchanging ashes for beauty. Oh, come on, somebody. If you've answered the question correctly, you can leave here with your head held high. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And I was like, "God, this is so awesome." He said, "Keep studying, because you just scratched the surface." So I started studying Pan, the god Pan. Now I want you to hear me. This is fascinating. I found a written piece of work by Josephus, the great Jewish historian who wrote about biblical things and historical accounts. And he defined this god Pan. And he said Pan would come and he would present himself in such a way that he would hiss and roar at the same time and create such a horrifying sound that grown men would run from him in terror with no reason known to them, and it became known as, get this, a panic attack. Do you know, by some of your standards, I'm an old woman. I am a mother and a grandmother, and I just found this out. If you look up, don't look it up. Wait till you get home. In the Webster's Dictionary. What? What? In the Webster's Dictionary. Webster, Noah Webster was a godly man. In the Webster's Dictionary, the word panic, this is the definition, of relating to or resembling the mental or emotional state believed to be induced by the god Pan. How many of you had a Webster's Dictionary back in the 1900s like I did? Anybody remember the blue hardbound Webster's Dictionary that you had to take to elementary school to look up definitions. See, the kids now, they just have to Google a word. They don't even have to know the alphabet to know which order the words come in. They just Google it. We had to know A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We had to look up the words. We had to know which the second letter came so we would know where the letter, but you know what? I carried around a Webster's Dictionary in the 1900s until I graduated high school in 1978, and I just found out that panic has its origin in the god Pan. And Jesus said, "Who do you say?" You are the Christ. Well, then the gates of hell will not prevail against you. The god Pan has no authority in your life. Panic attacks. But there are other words that originate. Anybody heard of pandemonium lately? Do you know that Pan plus demonic activities is pandemonium? Anybody notice that we've had pandemonium in the streets of some of our cities in the last few years? Anybody notice pandemonium in places that used to have structure and order? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying to you? Jesus said, oh, let me tell you something. You better know in 2022, you better know I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, or panic and pandemonium will have its way with you. Another word. Great day in the morning. I can't hardly stand myself right now. Pantheism. All roads lead to heaven. It doesn't matter who you worship. Just worship whatever you choose. As long as you're sincere, then you'll go to heaven. Not... How many of you know there is but one way? Come on, help me, help me. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the door. Come on, somebody. Pantheism. Check this one out. Some of you may or may not have heard this word. Pandemic. Panic, pandemonium, pantheism, pandemic, panic attacks. And a new one. Pansexual. That's just been introduced of late. Abraham Lincoln said, how many of you know he was a pretty smart fella from all accounts, from what I can read. And he asked a question, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail? And the people said five, and he said, no. He has four legs and a tail. And just because you count the tail does not mean he has five legs. And just because somebody says, I feel like I'm a woman today, does not mean he's a woman today. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying, girls? All these women who have proclaimed that we want equal rights are suddenly crickets. If we have ever been discriminated against, it's by these guys who come on, I'm going to swim on your team because I feel like a woman today and I want to take home the gold medal. What? God said in his word, he made male and female. And I hate it for you if you don't like that because you were born one or the other. And that's it in a nutshell. And I'm just saying, Jesus knew that we were going to be facing an onslaught from the God Pan in these last days. And he said, church, you need to hear me. You need to hear me, church. You need to hear me. You need to answer the question correctly without wavering. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Come on, let's say it together. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Panic, you have no authority in my life. Pandemonium, you have no rights here. Pandemic, get off my property. In the name of Jesus, we stand united and I will not waver. Oh, we may have attacks, but the gates of hell will not prevail. No weapon formed against us. That tells me weapons will be formed. Can somebody say amen? But it's a fixed fight. It'll be all right. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The gates of hell will not prevail against me. I have the keys to the kingdom and I'm binding the authority that Pan has usurped. He has no right in my life. He has no right in our nation. He has no right in our church and he has no right in my family. Come on, somebody. Somebody answer the question. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, I'm just going to tell you, you know what happens? You know why we walk around with ashes instead of beauty? You know why we walk around with the spirit of heaviness instead of the garment of praise? Because we have believed the lies of the gates of hell. We have heard his lies. We have not realized who we are in God. And the way we focus and the way we understand who we are is by first remembering who he is and knowing that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And when the winds are raging and the war is increasing, oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world is not a misprint. I've answered the question correctly. So the blood of Jesus is sufficient. I'm covered by the blood. I'm surrounded by warring angels. I'm standing on the solid rock. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I've got the keys to the kingdom. The devil is scared to death. You're going to get this and run with it. God. Maria Tora Hishoprataha. Nilio Toriataha. Women of God, the enemy has lied to you and tried to make you walk around deceiving yourself, trying to make you feel like you deserve what has come your way. The enemy's tried to make you feel like you don't deserve a way out. I know I'm talking to somebody in this room right now. The enemy's trying to make you feel like you brought it on yourself, so deal with it. But Jesus did not do that with Peter. Peter lost his focus, and Jesus immediately, all Peter did was, Lord, save me. Come on, somebody, say that to him right now. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And you'll see him reach into your situation and pull you right out, and you'll have fresh revelation of who he is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, because you've spoken peace to my storm and it is well with my soul. It might not happen immediately, but happen it will. You can rest on that. God will not allow you to stay in distress forever. Will you stand? I feel his presence, women of God. I feel his presence. I feel his presence. I feel his presence. I feel his presence in here. We have been through so much as a nation. We've been through so much as a church. We've been through so much as families. We've been through so much as individuals. But Jesus is taking you right to the edge of the enemy's camp. And he's saying, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because I am telling you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, if you haven't answered the question correctly and you don't know that for yourself personally, I invite you right now to come to the altar and meet Jesus here. It will change your life and it will change your eternity. But I'm looking, how many of you women of God If you've answered the question correctly, raise your hand as a point of testimony and just keep it up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I know that I know that I know that that's who you are. And I will not waver on my stand. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now raise your other hand and thank him because he's got you. Jesus. He's got you. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Raise your hand. Praise him because the storm that might be raging against you, God is greater than the storm. He's greater than the enemy. And the God Pan that they worshiped has no authority in your life. Oh, he's trying to resurface. He's trying to make a way. He's trying to come against you. But I am telling you in my spirit, I know that I know that I know that God sent me by here to tell you, you can exchange your heartache for joy. You can exchange your trial for victory. You can exchange your brokenness and the spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. With one look at who he is. Somebody just hold up your Bible right now. If you've got your actual Bible, just hold it up. Say, Lord, you are Genesis through Revelation. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's what Peter declared. He declared that you are everything. You are Christ concealed in the Old Testament and Christ revealed in the New Testament. You are all sufficient. You are more than enough. And when you answer that question and you declare it over your household, I'm challenging you right now. I'm challenging you. When you get home right now, when you get home after this conference, walk around in your house and declare you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Make those words ring the atmosphere in your house. Ring it out over your property, over your apartment, over your house, over the cubicle at work, in your car. Declare it. The gates of hell has no authority in my space.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I feel your presence. I'm trying to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. I want to obey Him. If you have been in a storm or in a storm or feel like you're about to face a storm, probably that covers everybody in the room. Unless you've been living under a rock somewhere. I mean, I'm just saying. I feel like there's a wave of refreshing coming in this house. I feel like there's a wave of refreshing coming. I feel like the power of God is about to move and remind you and reassure you that God's got this situation under control. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there, before I go any further, there's one thing I've got to do. The lady that's wearing the black sweater with the red shirt underneath it looks like a heart on your shirt. Yes. Can you come here, sweetheart? Come with her if somebody, I just, it's like that there's a light shining on your head and the Lord wants me to pray for you and declare over you, God's got this. Somebody stretch your hands in her direction. I'm telling you, Rasha Tore, hey, it's like a light shining over the top of your head and the Lord won't let me get away from who you are. Stretch your hands, women of God. Come on, declare it. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The gates of hell will not prevail.
I worship you.
The man's been walking.
Lord, I worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are way, way, here in the work. All its feet, light in the darkness.
Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, prayer warriors, pray with her. God, in the name of Jesus, God is stirring in this room. He's the light in the darkness. And I just want to ask you, I want to ask you, women of God, if you have felt yourself going under for the count, come on, I'm just going to be real. If you have felt like Peter must have felt when he began to sink, I'm talking about some of you are seasoned women of God, and you have felt like the storm has been great and the battle has been raging. And I've been going through the motions of trying to act like everything was okay, but I'm just going to be real here tonight, and I'm going to let the enemy know I'm serving notice. I'm not going to listen to his lies anymore. If you've been focusing on the storm and not the peace speaker, I want you to make your way to the front. Come on, let's just be honest. If you've been focusing on the storm and not the peace speaker, come on down, come on down. If you've been focusing on the storm and not the peace speaker, and you feel like you're going down for the count, come on, let's just be honest. Come on, let's just be honest. Come in as close as you can. God, in the name of Jesus. God, I can't talk about my life. I worship you, God. Jesus, I love the fact that you're being honest and that you're being real and you're being transparent. I want you ladies who are right there still, I want you to stretch your hands this way. Because ladies who didn't come, nod your heads at me if you've been where they are. You know what it's like to feel like they feel. Come on, let's tell the truth. You know what it's like. So in compassion, I want you to stretch your hands towards them. And I want you, ladies, I want you to raise your hands. And I want you to pray this three-word prayer that Peter prayed. Come on. I want you to pray this three-word prayer. Lord, save me. Come on, I want you just to say it over and over. Raise your hands and declare it. Lord, save me. Come on, say it to him. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Come on, women of God. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. For you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are bigger than my battle. You are bigger than my storm. Come on, God's doing something right now. I'm telling you, I feel his presence. He's doing something in our midst. I want you to imagine him walking towards your boat with fire in his eyes, singing this song. I am the way maker, the promise keeper, the light. Come on, I want you to imagine him. He's coming towards you.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are.
Worship him.
Way maker, miracle worker.
He's doing something. Come on, don't give up. Bring it to him. Travail before him. I never, ever, ever come to a service with a preconceived idea of how he's going to do the altar. I always try my best to stay open because every group of people are the same and every group of people are different. Every group of people have the same fundamental needs, but there are certain battles that different women fight. And the Lord, I'm trying to be sensitive. And this sounds strange, but I feel like this whole clump of people that just came, if you'll move to my left, to your right, if you'll just kind of move this way, we're not done. We're going to pray, but I want y'all to move this way as far as you can. Move this way. We're going to keep praying because God's not finished. I'm telling you, God is not finished. He's answering. He's hearing. He's calling. You're calling out, and he's hearing your prayer. I believe that with all of my heart. But the Lord just gave me an instruction, and I don't want to miss it. Anybody in the room, and maybe some of you are already down here, anybody in the room know what it means to have a panic attack? Anybody in the room know what it means to have a panic? I am asking you, because the Lord prompted me to, if you have dealt with or dealing with panic attacks, come and stand right here. And even if you're in this group, move over this way. I believe there's an anointing and the presence of God. How dare the devil come against these anointed women of God? How dare he lie to this group of anointed women and make them feel unprecedented, unmerited fear? If you've ever had a panic attack, it is a horrible feeling, and there's no explanation for it. And it makes you feel, and am I right? It makes you feel crazy. It makes you feel like you try to rationalize it away, and people try to help you, and they say, you don't have anything to be afraid of, and they're trying to help, but there's no logic, and you can't fix it on your own. But I am telling you, you have the keys to the kingdom, and you have answered the question correctly, and the gates of hell have no right or authority, and you're going to leave here, I believe, laying down the garment of heaviness and picking up the garment of praise. So women of God, raise your hand if we're in this together. Come on, raise your hand if we're in this together. There's some awesome women of God who have come down to this altar, who have said that they feel like that they've gone down and they're losing a battle, and they feel like they need to cry a three-word prayer, Lord, save them. And there's another group of women who have come to this altar who are openly, honestly declaring that they have been the brunt end of the force of the spirit of attack from the God Pan, causing panic to come into their life and into their mind, and they want to shake that off tonight. Are you hearing what I'm saying in the name of Jesus? So I want to ask the women of God to stretch your hands in this direction. How many of you want to help them exchange the garment of praise? How many of you want them to pick it up for the spirit of heaviness tonight? How many of you want to see God turn their grave into a garden and their bones into an army? How many of you want God to move in the midst of the northern New England area? It could begin in us, women of God, because we've answered the question correctly. I want some prayer warriors to move in behind these, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together, but I want everybody here, I want you to do this, women of God. I want those who are standing back to stretch your hands in their direction, and I want us to answer the question correctly together. I want you to imagine Jesus standing right in front of you, holding your hands, his face in your hand, your face in his hands, and I want you to imagine him saying, who do you say that I am? And I want you to answer the question to him, not me. To him, not me. I want you to look up to him and answer the question. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Come on, say it to him. Say it to him. Say it again. Say it to him. Declare who he is. Say it to him. Declare who he is. Say it. Now I want you to say like Peter did, that three-word prayer. Lord, save me. Come on. Just keep praying it over and over. Come on, keep praying. I'm going to come pray. Come on, prayer warriors. Join in prayer with these.
Still call me friend. Yes, you do.
Because the God of the mountain is still the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
God, have your way, Jesus.
Nothing is better.
this is something I need to do before. And then I want Sister Jamil to just follow the leading of the Lord and sing as she feels led to sing. But I want us to end this with a season of worship. But there's something I really feel like I need to do. I feel like in groups of two or three, no less than two, I want, because I want somebody, I want everybody to please join me in this. And everybody find somebody and look at that person and declare over them, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Say, "He is the Christ,
He is the Christ,
the Son of the living God." Come on, declare. There's something shifting in your atmosphere. Declare it to each other. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. Come on, speak that into the atmosphere. Speak it over your home. Speak it over your relationships. Speak it over your children. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Come on, say that to each other. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. We will not wear ashes and heaviness. We will walk out of here wearing the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because we have answered the question correctly and we have the keys to the kingdom. God, have your way. Have your way. There's no one better. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. He may try, but he will not prevail. He may try, but he will not prevail. He may try, but he will not prevail. Come on, somebody. Raise your hands and say, "We win, and we win big." Come on, declare it in the atmosphere. We win, and we win big. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Genesis through Revelation. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. And He declared it right there in the enemy's camp, and the gates of hell began to tremble because the war was on.
Hallelujah.
And we are about to celebrate Easter in just a few weeks. Heaven and hell went to war on the cross, and heaven won, and heaven won big, and there will never be a rematch. Is anybody in the room hearing what I'm saying? When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," He did not mean "my life is over." He meant "the plan of God is now complete. I have accomplished what I was sent to accomplish." And He did it for you. He did it for you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So even in my darkness, I will wear the garment of praise. Even in my battle, I will wear the victor's crown. Even in my battle, I will walk it out one foot in front of the other, knowing how the end will be.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, there's nothing better than You. We thank You, God, for all that You've done at the altars and all that You're doing around the altars, Jesus. Search the world, Jesus. And it couldn't fill me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man's empty praise and treasures to fade were never enough, Jesus. But then You came along. Yes, You did, Jesus. You put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied, hearing Your love. Oh, there is nothing better than You. Oh, there's nothing better than You. Oh, there's nothing
let's worship Him on this song just before we go. Let's praise Him for what He's done. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not afraid. Here we go. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. I like this part right here. He's the God of the mountain. He never changes. He's still the God of the valley. She's coming at this time. God bless you.
Well, ladies, Rhonda and Jamil, thank you so very much for the way that you've led us into the presence of God and in worship and in word. Thank you so very much. Ladies, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking this weekend away from your family just to be here with one another and to worship. I appreciate you being here with us. I hope you have a great night tonight and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow morning. As I said, doors open at 8:30. 9 o'clock will be the door prizes, and then at 10 o'clock we will start service once again. So enjoy your night. Be safe. Thank you for being here, and I look forward to worshiping with you again tomorrow morning.